And welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 79, and it is called
Hard Traveling Stick.
Snicked. That was you can't do it like high like this. Be like snicked.
No, I think blades would actually go snicked.
Snicked. Anyway, if you don't know what snicked means,
there you go.
Snicked is the action word that they use for Wolverine's claws popping, kind of like thwip is for Spider-Man's web fluid.
Is it really?
Yeah, thwip. Thwip.
Oh.
Say that, thwip. Anyway, hey, I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
This is the Infamous Podcast. And before we get started, we have a Patreon page. You can find it at infamous.com. Well, you can go to Infamous. You can go to infamouspodcast.com and click on the link that says Patreon to get there.
Slow down.
Or it is at Patreon. It's at patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We want to do some cool shits for you guys this year, and we are looking for a little help so we don't have to go hunt down advertisers. And there's some... What are you doing?
I thought there was something on my mic.
Okay, so Johnny's just looking at the top of his microphone.
I thought it was like a spider. I'm like, is there a spider on my mic?
Possibly.
Did I go thwip and every spider in the room went...
So you're the spider totem now.
Yeah.
All right, so... This week, we have a new addition or another addition to the certified infamous reading list.
Yes.
And you can guess it's a Wolverine story.
Yes.
Which, a Wolverine story, spoiler alert, I enjoyed. Shocker.
One of the few that I like, so.
Yep. Anyway, so we'll get to that. But before we do, we have some news bites. Some cool stuff came out this week. The first of which,
not cool stuff.
Do we want to start with the not
bad news first, good news after?
Okay, so we'll start with the bad news. Star Trek Discovery is indefinitely delayed at this point. Mainly because CBS just can't get their stuff together. And the title from...
Or because they cast somebody who's on another show.
Well, I was going to say, the title from the article on Movie Pilot that we're going to share is Star Trek Discovery Postponed Indefinitely, Thanks to Clash with The Walking Dead. Points. Mm-hmm. but no, as we know... how do you say it? Is it...
Sinequa.
Sinequa, thank you. Martin Green was cast as the number one, the first officer...
The lead of the show.
The lead actress. And because it's been pushed back, it is now running into the Walking Dead schedule.
Yeah.
So she survives this season. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler!
Hey, guess what? I don't even watch, and I know she's going to make it through.
Hey!
Woo! You know, this is on the heels. You know, Brian Fuller's left the show to go do American Gods.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably a much better decision.
American Gods already have been in production in that. So it's like,
yeah. You know. Anyway, but, and then we got a casting for Sarek news right before this. And it's, what's his name?
James Frain.
Thank you, James Frain. He's going to play Spock's dad. I guess he's on Gotham right now.
I believe he is.
So
I just know him from The Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on.
Well, he was in Tron.
He was in Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
He was on 24.
Yeah. I didn't watch 24.
You didn't watch 24. Oh, yeah. It was like. So, you know about 24, though, right?
Ding, ding, ding. That's all I know.
Okay.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Countdown.
So Jack Bauer, right?
Yeah.
So James Frain's character married like the lady Jack Bauer was in love with.
Okay.
And then it looked like he might have been a terrorist or a terrorist sympathizer. Yeah, yeah. And Jack had him in a hotel room, and he's trying to get him to talk, and the guy won't talk. And he takes this lamp and just rips the cord out of it, peels it apart, and just sticks the things right on his chest and just keeps electrocuting him until he talks. That didn't go well.
Jack Bauer violating everybody's human rights.
Oh, yeah. There are no human rights where Jack Bauer's involved. But, I don't know. How do you feel about this?
Scrap it.
just
scrap it at this point.
And so before we started, I was kind of ranting. Like, I still think the stupidest thing they could do with this show is do it in between Enterprise and the original series. It's like, let's move on from that. Let's tell a better story. Let's not hamstring ourselves into, you know, not being able to introduce new aliens. Let's, you know, take into account the Kelvin timeline. You know, let's.
You don't even have to do the Kelvin timeline. You could just do after Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager universe, and do 25th, 6th century.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, or Star Trek. Star Trek's about the human condition.
Yeah,
it can be done in any time, but to just shoehorn this one in, and because we want to show the Klingon War,
yeah,
it's like. The Klingon War probably was like really short because it was more of a Cold War. Yeah.
Show the
it's like,
third
do you guys
Klingon
forget
War.
Like the history of the United States and Russia, which was what the Klingons were based off of, was a Cold War. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Besides a wall falling at the end
and the Bay of Pigs.
Anyway,
but no, it's
frustrating. Cuba seen more action in the Cold War than Russia did. I mean, you know,
but, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of happy it's delayed in a way.
Yeah.
I also think at this point it probably won't happen.
It's looking more and more bleak.
And I think the whole thing of putting it on CBS All Access was just a mistake.
Yeah.
And then
I think they're making the same mistake with the Good Wife spinoff too. Because The Good Wife was a popular show.
Did The Good Wife end?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it ended or it is ending.
That was the lady from ER, right?
Yeah. Okay. Julia and Margulies.
Right. What else was she on in between ER and
The Good forget. Wife? She did a couple movies, but I think she was on another show. But she's not in the spinoff. It's Christine Baranski and two of the other characters.
Okay.
And I think it's called The Good Fight. Because it's them public defender type thing. But
didn't they just try that with Haley Atwell with that Conviction show?
Yeah, but she doesn't carry the same weight as Christine Baranski being on The Good Wife and then it crossing over. But the problem is
Christine Baranski's a TV star.
Well, right.
You know, she's not a. I mean,
Haley Atwell's not.
She's
a TV
movie
star,
so you would think, like, you know, but.
Well, but I mean, that doesn't make a difference.
All right.
Fake American accent, you know.
Well, that right there is a problem right there. You have a British accent. She has an amazing voice. She emotes it so well. Keep the voice.
Well, and you know that since ABC canceled Agent Carter, that nobody who watched Agent Carter was going to watch it because they were too pissed off.
Yeah.
So why support a show just because of the actress?
I hear you.
You know, but with this All Access thing, it's like they're putting that show on there, which is going to be the first one air now instead of Star Trek.
I see.
But it's one of those things where I think they're even making a mistake with that because it's like, you know, the reason The Good Wife was popular is because it was on regular broadcast television.
Yeah. And I mean, CBS has a definite following of.
If you have a following of a popular television, like NCIS and CSI,
like.
They spinned off, and the spinoffs were as popular as the original.
My in-laws love CBS shows,
sure.
Right? It's between that and, like, the Golf Channel, I don't think they have any other channels. Or whatever
it
channel.
It totally makes sense.
Whatever channel that Tim Allen show reruns on.
I don't know.
With, what's her name? Anyway, but forget it. But, like, yeah, like, they're not going to. No, it's
all the Last Man Standing?
I guess. But, like, they're not going to go and download CBS All Access. You know, they're never going to see any of this stuff.
Well, do you pay for CBS All
Access? Yeah, it's $5.99 a month.
Then you're paying, too.
And we did the week free
thing
a while ago because, you know, everything we have is streaming at
this
point. And it was the worst experience.
Oh, wow.
Like, nothing buffered correctly. Half the time, the lips didn't match.
I was going to say, is it the whole thing where the talking and the...
And I have a fiber connection. Like, I have I have 100 down, 50 up, you know? Like, nothing streams poorly in this house.
Right.
And CBS All Access sucks monkeys. Anyway, all right, so...
Yeah.
Let's talk about some good stuff.
Sure.
Miles Morales is getting a movie.
Yeah.
An animated movie.
Right,
in stereo.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a great way to segue him into the larger cinematic universe.
I was going to say it's a good way to introduce him to people who don't know who he is.
You know, I love Miles. I think he's a great character. The current Spider-Man book,
yeah,
is awesome. It's you know, it's him. You know, it's that throwback to Peter,
right?
But like, he has the additional way to being a character of color,
right?
And there was a point where his mask was up, and they realized, oh wait, he's a black character. So now there's a Hispanic girl who has a YouTube channel, and like, she's kind of like his fan club, you will. And you know, so there's that, and then he's got the team up with Nova and Ms. Marvel, and they're always in the show. Luke Cage and Jessica Jones have shown up.
Oh, nice.
And like, him and Luke had a really cool moment.
Yeah.
Goldballs from All New X-Men is one of the main characters now. But yeah, and then, you know, the whole thing where his dad works for S.H.I.E.L.D., his, you know, his mom has no idea he's a superhero or his dad's a super spy. You know, yeah, I mean, Bendis created this character, and then it's Sarah Pichelli.
Yeah.
I think that's how you say it. Her art is just, I mean.
Is she on the current book?
Yeah, she's on the current book. I mean,
she worked on Witchblade.
I mean, she's up there with Fiona Staples.
Right.
As probably two of the top five artists in comics right now.
Yeah.
Her layouts are amazing. Her web swinging and stuff is really reminiscent of like early Bagley.
Okay.
Before he kind of became too stylized.
Right.
But yeah, this really excites me. Unfortunately, we have to wait until December of 2018.
Right.
So.
Is it just going to be a Sony produced?
It doesn't really say a whole lot. I mean, I'm looking at the article that you shared from previews. But it's going to be from Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. Which is a good thing. If that name doesn't sound familiar to you, they're the guys who made the Lego movie.
Right.
And 21 Jump Street. And 22 Jump Street. And the Lego Batman movie. And they're doing one of the Star Wars spinoffs.
They are?
I think so. But
okay.
Anyway.
Aren't they working on 21 Jump Street Men in Black?
Oh, also? Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Who do you want to have voice this character?
I don't know. I mean, who are you thinking?
I mean, I'm hoping Donald Glover just because he's voiced him already.
Right.
But they don't usually redo
that.
Yeah.
I mean, Phil Lamar would be a go-to.
Yeah. The kid who was going to be... the kid from Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl, who's in the Power Rangers movie.
Yeah.
He's got a cool voice, I think, that would work. I'm trying to think of, like,
Are you thinking, like, more younger black
actors? Like, Junior. The kid that plays Junior on Blackish would be good.
The kid that was on The Walking Dead that played Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he'd be a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a
Zac Efron.
I almost jokingly said that. I almost jokingly said Zac Efron. But
Zac Efron's got to play his friend.
He can be Flash Thompson. Oh, yeah. He can play. Well, no, because Genki is Hispanic.
Okay.
So
Zac Efron can play Hispanic, I'm sure.
I love Zac Efron. He's so funny. But yeah, so. Oh, wait, hold on. The movie's not going to be directed by Lord Miller. It's going to be directed by Bob Perschetti, who was the head of story on Puss in Boots and The Little Prince.
Okay.
So, and then Peter Ramsey's involved from Rise of
the
Guardians.
What kind of animation do you want to see?
So the computer animated Spider-Man from MTV ruined that style for me.
Yeah.
Now, the current Ultimate Spider-Man did a version of that with Spider-Man 2099.
Right.
When they did the Spider-Verse episode. But I would like to see a more traditional. Animated style. You know, that's very slick and clean with the computer-generated backgrounds.
Right.
I think that would work. Or if they're going to do it, if they're going to do like the computer look, it has to at least be as good as the Dragons series or my new obsession, Trollhunters.
Okay.
So
if it's just Sony, then who knows? Yeah. But I mean, if Sony's working with Marvel on it, then Disney obviously might have a hand in the animation style, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, one of the executive producers is Christina Steinberg from Trollhunters.
Okay.
So,
well, then you're probably,
you know, that's what I'm hoping for. So, Lord Miller doing the untitled Han Solo movie.
Okay.
So, all right. All right. And then the last bit, which kind of ties into our main topic, is there's a new trailer for Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen it, there's a link in our show notes. You should definitely watch it. But we learn that the little girl is Laura.
Or some, if you don't X-23. Know.
She is X-23. I personally would have rather waited till the movie to see her pop claws.
Yeah.
You know, that's me. Like, you know, I get it. They're good.
I think it's just the fact of the general public type thing.
Now, is this going to be R-rated?
I thought it was supposed
because
to be.
There's some brutal. I mean, just in the trailer, there's some brutal
there's
stuff
red
with
band
her.
Trailer. Like,
that's what we played.
I think. Is that what you played?
But
I don't know. I was, you know.
This makes me more excited for the movie though.
Yeah,
because I think it looks great. The just look and feel of the world looks great.
Right.
And then from our main topic, having read what we read this week.
Right. Yeah.
For me, the first time ever.
This movie doesn't look anything like that book.
But it doesn't. But the whole idea of the retired, non-violent pacifist
mutants
Logan,
are dead in this universe. Xavier's on the run type thing, and
he's on his last wheel.
Well, it's
will.
The whole altering
come on,
timeline.
That was funny. He's on his last wheel.
This just in. That was not funny. No, I mean, they haven't really said, but mutants are a more extinct group in this universe. Obviously, had something to do with the altering of the universe.
Maybe this is post Days of Future Past bad timeline.
Maybe, but I don't think so.
No. Who's directing this? I forget.
I don't remember.
Anyway, it's not Bryan Singer, so it'll probably be good.
Well, it's just one of those things where third time's a charm.
Yeah, well,
we might get a good Wolverine movie on the third try,
which is the opposite. Because remember, in Days of Apocalypse, the third one's always the worst.
Well, you know, did you see the picture that was being like popped up with Pierce Brosnan with Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds?
No,
everybody thinks he might be Cable. That Pierce Brosnan might be Cable. I said I was like I'd never thought of that one, but that's not a bad idea. Yeah.
No.
Who do you want? None of you fanboys are going to be happy with whoever they cast.
I liked the idea of the dude from Avatar.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen.
Wow.
I didn't get to see it in the theater, and I feel like that was the one where the technology was more important than the story. And
the
story's
a 3D TV. With wolves.
Or Pocahontas.
Is what?
Or Pocahontas.
No, it's Dances with Wolves. I mean, no, it's literally Dances with
and
Wolves.
And I don't like Sam Worthington, so was the other thing.
Most of the time he's a blue animated creature, so it's okay.
But, I liked the idea of Kyle Chandler, but...
No.
I'm familiar with him for more than just
I would have said no
Friday Night Lights
on that one.
But no, Stephen Lang, I think would probably be pretty good. You know, if there was a time machine going to getting Ron Perlman from 15 years ago,
Ron Perlman now would be fine. He's old and
he
Cable's supposed
move,
to be older.
Though. It's just, you know,
I don't know about that.
You know, I don't think we need to cast a 60-year-old guy to be Cable.
Why not? Cable was like a 60-year-old guy in the book at first.
Yeah, but 60-year-old men and 60-year-old comic book men are two entirely different things.
Maybe.
You know, I don't
You're
know.
Awful ageist there.
Yeah, well. Hey, if they do it to women in Hollywood, they need to do it to the men too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not 100% sure. It's one of those things where I think this is whoever they cast is going to be what makes or breaks the movie.
You really think so?
I do, because if they get someone too serious that takes themselves too seriously, you're going to take away the fun.
Right.
And if they get someone too goofy, it's going to come across just cheesy and dumb.
Yeah.
So,
Val Kilmer.
No.
Who else played Batman? Michael Keaton's playing.
Yeah. Clooney?
George Clooney as Cable.
Christian Bale?
No, I was talking those Batman movies. Not
yeah, no, I'm just saying Christian Bale, if we were talking about
Batman. Ben Affleck as Cable.
You know, honestly,
Ben Affleck would have
been
okay.
He can get big enough, and like, it would be interesting to see him with gray hair. Yeah, I think if Kevin Bacon could buff up, maybe.
He's too wiry.
He's too wiry, yeah. Keanu?
Nope.
I don't know.
I say go for an older actor.
Yeah.
Cable's an older character
But, you know, but you want to have an actor who can stick around and isn't going to, you know, age out too quick.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Let us know who should play Cable. Contact
Ryan Reynolds.
Infamous Podcast.
Oh, wait.
That would be hilarious.
I'm so confused now.
That would be hilarious.
Keira
Knightley.
Blake Lively.
Idris Elba.
Why not?
Oh, God. Could you imagine the fanboy revolt if they cast a black actor as Cable?
I'm there.
Lawrence Fishburne.
No, he's too busy doing The Matrix 5. John Wick 2.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I can't wait for that movie.
I told a friend to watch that, and I said, tell me if you feel like it's The Matrix.
It'd be Matrix 4, then.
Yeah. Well, John Wick 2 would be
John
Matrix
Wick.
5.
So John Wick is The Matrix 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when he watched it a few days later, I seen him at work, and he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I said, so how cool would it have been if they would have just went through the return to the Matrix and had it where Neo didn't die, that he became John Wick?
Nice.
And I said, because Lawrence Fishburne's in John Wick 2. And he goes, no. And I said, yes.
The machines didn't hold up their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
And he's the next incarnation of the world.
Ah, there you go.
So, all right. You want to talk about our main topic?
Sure.
Okay. So this new addition to the latest addition to the certified reading list is Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
The 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Millar, Steve McNiven, masterpiece. I mean,
yes.
Like thinking of the Marvel stuff I was reading back in 2008.
I don't remember reading any Marvel
stuff. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is I wasn't reading any Marvel stuff really back then. Amazing Spider-Man was it.
Okay.
And obviously X-Men.
Right.
But I mean, this is a dark and gritty and really cool story. I mean, it's, you know, 50 years after, you know, on the cover, it says 50 years after Wolverine died.
Yeah.
And it's 50 years after the heroes have died.
Yeah.
So kind of a quick synopsis in this story. It's post-apocalyptic. The U.S., I'm assuming most of the world.
Let me just read it.
Sure.
I'll just read the Wikipedia. It says, the United States has been conquered and divided among supervillains, with territories belonging to the Abomination, Magneto, Dr. Doom, and the Red Skull, who has named himself president. Heroes have been wiped out of existence, and the few survivors are in hiding. Logan lives with his wife, Maureen, and young children, Scotty and Jade, on a barren plot of land in Sacramento, California, now in the territory known as Hulkland, who conquered it after he killed the Abomination.
Yeah, and then the Dominion, formerly known, Magneto's land is formerly known as the Dominion, which is taken over by the King. It's called the Kingdom of the Kingpin.
The new Kingpin, yeah.
The new Kingpin, right. And then you have Doom's Lair. You've got...
Oh, you're looking at the map?
Yeah, I have the map. You have the President's Quarters, which is the East Coast. Doom's Lair is, like, you know, Michigan and down through the Rust Belt. You know, the Kingpin's kingdom is, you know, like Nevada and that kind of stuff. And then Arizona. And then down to, from like Boise to Phoenix, and then Hulkland is, you know, the entire West Coast.
Yeah.
I did not expect to enjoy this as much as I did.
Now, you read it as one whole book.
I read it, yeah.
I was working at Queen City when this came out, like on a normal basis. So I was reading this monthly.
Right.
And it was in the published in the Wolverine book. It was like, you know, the cover was caught your eye because it's like, what is this? And, you know, why is it in the regular Wolverine book? And it's a what if story.
Yeah.
Literally, it's like, you know, what if the villains had won?
So,
and all the heroes die.
Yeah. So the villains.
And it starts out really cool because it starts out with, you know, we don't know what happened to Wolverine.
No.
He just disappeared one day. And it shows him walking away with blood dripping off his claws, walking away into the woods.
Oh, and he's all battle damaged.
Oh, he's destroyed.
And, yeah,
suit's ripped to pieces. Yeah. And you don't know what happens until probably like four issues later.
Yeah. I mean, it opens after that. You see an old guy on a horse.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it comes through and it's Wolverine and it shows him like on the third page kneeling in front of an oncoming train.
Yeah.
Which, and then cuts back.
Well, it was like doing the flashbacks because he remembers the way they wrote it is kind of like what happened to Wolverine after Weapon X, where he remembered things, but he didn't remember everything.
Right.
Because something traumatic had happened to him to the point that, you know, he tried to kill himself and the train just hit him and he didn't die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he can't die. Obviously, one of the cool things about this story is he can't die, but he can age.
Right.
And it's like, you know, knowing the character Wolverine, I never imagined him aging.
Yeah.
Like
that. And his healing factor works, but not as well. And
I mean, the only other time I remember seeing Wolverine old was Days of the Future Past.
Yeah.
At this point, at the point that this book was done. That's a cool story.
Yeah.
Opens up really bad with Hulk's inbred grandchildren showing
up. The Hulk's hillbilly children.
Oh, yeah.
Are the highlight of this book. You know, so essentially Wolverine and his family are renting a plot of land.
Because
I guess nobody's allowed to own anything in Hulkland except for a Hulk.
Right.
And rent's due and they don't have any money. And, like, you know, his kids have an Xbox and a Game Boy, which I thought was pretty fun to see that stuff survived. And he refuses to sell the kids' toys. And he says, I'll figure it out.
Right.
I'll get something. And the three Hulks, three of the Hulk's grandkids show up in the Fantastic Mobile.
Yeah.
And, you know, it says banners and then, like, dead and forgotten.
Four No More.
Yeah. Yeah. Four No More was good on there. The Unfantastic Four.
Yeah.
Or the Unforgiven. That's what it's, the Unforgiven. But, and so they show up in this really just jank version of the Fantastic Mobile.
Yeah.
And, you know, they know who he is. They call him Wolverine, and he says, that's not my name.
Yeah, they mess with him. They're trying to get him to pop the claws is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he pops the claws, they're, I guess, allowed to do whatever they want.
Right.
To him.
And so, you know, but because he doesn't have the money, they say, we'll give you a month, but you owe double.
Yeah.
But you're going to take a beating. And when they tell him that, you see the claws pop.
Yeah.
And then you see him cut one of the Hulks open.
Oh, yeah.
But it's obviously a dream sequence.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
imagine what I could do to you.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they proceed to beat the living hell out of him.
Yep.
Until his son pulls out a gun, which he expressly told him not to do.
Right.
So then the Hulks are like, all right, you've got a month, we'll be back, and pop to, you know, sometime later. We don't know how long it's been because, again, he doesn't heal like he used to.
Right.
And, there's an old guy, an old blind guy sitting with him.
Yep.
And, we quickly learn who that is.
Yeah. It's Clint Barton.
One Clint Barton, AKA Hawkeye.
Yep.
He's got a beard. He's all long white hair, balding.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like he's scarred up in the face, just like Logan. And he has a job. He needs help transporting something from Sacramento to Washington D.C.
Right.
And you know, we don't know what that is, but what he needs is because he's blind, he needs Logan to navigate.
Yeah.
And he needs Logan to navigate the Spider-Mobile.
Yep, the spider buggy.
Which is so awesome.
Well, it's Mark Millar, so he's like digging into his childhood. And the spider buggy shows up and you're like, what?
I forgot about the spider buggy.
I didn't forget about it, but I'm just like, this is the ridiculousness that is Mark Millar. Because even at that point, it's like you got the point that he just likes to have fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a dark story.
It's a dark story, but there's a lot of dark humor.
Fun.
In it.
I mean, like, the humor is right up my alley. You know, but Wolverine, and here's the other thing, is they drew him short. Right?
Yeah.
Like, noticeably short.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, sometimes in, like, current, like, Marvel, Wolverine, and, like, the old man Logan Wolverine right now should be about the same height as teenage Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And he towers over her. And
okay.
It's like, come on, let's come on.
Well, yeah, because as you get older, you get smaller. Yeah. And then on top of it, Wolverine was small already.
Come on, Umberto. Let's do this right. Quit fetishizing Wolverine. So, you know, they have their map set. They're going to, you know, make their way through the U.S., with a few stops along the way.
Yeah.
We learn that Hawkeye's been married a whole bunch of times.
Which is not a surprise.
His current wife is the third child of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Who's black. Which was interesting.
Yeah.
And they have a kid together.
Right.
And so as they're making their way through, they swing by Hawkeye's home in Nevada.
At Hammer Falls.
And we learn why it's called Hammer Falls. Because Thor's hammer is just stuck
sitting in the middle of Las Vegas.
In the middle of the field.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Las Vegas, and it's now Hammer Falls. Because Thor died and his hammer landed where it landed.
Yep. And then we learned about the Mole Men still around. There's a group of Ghost Riders.
Well, you didn't even talk about Ashley.
Well, I hadn't gotten there yet because they go through a bunch of stuff before they get to Ashley.
Well, the Moloids happen after.
Well, I mean, we run into them first.
Right.
You know, like, we just see them. Like, it's much
them living in the desert.
Yeah. When they run into the Ghost Riders, that's pretty cool. They attack Logan. He refuses to fight back. Hawkeye shows he's still got some skills, even though he's suffering from cataracts, which is what's affected his vision, which is when we learn that. You know, and Logan keeps having flashbacks, like, of the day the heroes fell. This is really bringing up some stuff for him. They get to Ashley, who is Hawkeye's daughter, Peter Parker's granddaughter.
Right.
And she has taken on the mantle of Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
And has gone to Salt Lake City to fight the Kingpin. We learn that she's being raised by her mother and a version of Ultron.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. Like, I love seeing
it's
him.
It's just a weird story.
I loved the, like, the Hawaiian shirt and the, you know, the cargo shorts. And then, like, he looks a lot like he's dressed like Spicoli from Fast Times.
Yeah.
But it's Ultron or an Ultron. Ultron 5, I think, is what it is. But, we kind of end that part of the story with Hawkeye telling Logan, hey, I'll pay you $1,000 if you come help me save my daughter. And he's like, well, I'm not going to fight. And he's like, you don't have to fight. I just need you to drive.
Right.
You know, or I need you to navigate.
That's the thing, is the blind man's driving the car.
Yeah.
Logan's just saying, watch out for the rock.
Yep.
Watch out for that.
Yeah, watch out for this.
Look out for the hole.
Yeah. I like when Ultron gives him the X-Men keychain. That's a pretty cool.
Forgot about that.
I read it twice this week.
A couple years since I read it.
And then they're traveling to Salt Lake, and they come through this little town, and it's Cedar City, Utah, and they start driving through, and like everything's buried.
Yeah.
And they come across this guy who's just chilling on top of a church, hanging onto the cross for dear life. And they find out that the Mole Men have sunk the city.
Right.
And it's like, But, like, he doesn't want to let go. They're not going to take him.
Right.
You know, and it's like, all right. And they just drive off.
Drive off,
and,
yeah.
And, yeah, then we get to finally Salt Lake City or, you know, King, whatever he calls it, whatever the Kingpin calls it.
The Kingpin. I just remember he was the Kingpin. It's not Wilson Fisk.
No. It's a black guy again who is, he's like a gangsta all blinged out and everything. Right. And, It shows us a guy dressed as Daredevil and then a dude dressed as the Punisher.
Yeah.
With a pretty rockin' blonde mohawk. Tied to or chained more accurately to a couple of stakes. And I was thinking that they were gonna make them fight each other to the death.
Yeah.
And it was so much cooler. You know, you get to the Kingpin who's like, you know, monologuing about why they have to die and why they can't be superheroes. And then you cut to the next page and there's freaking velociraptors.
Yeah, because they've imported dinosaurs from Savage Land.
Yeah, which apparently at one point or another, having a dinosaur was all the rage in this new world. And then people realized how expensive it was to keep them. And now they just run the prairie land.
Yeah.
They just run around.
They're back running where they were running before.
So, they totally just eat Daredevil and the Punisher.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've kept, for whatever reason, Kingpin has kept Ashley, you know, something.
It's Spider-Girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Who, she has powers.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. So Hawkeye frees her. And it's a really cool scene where, you know, Logan drives the car across the side of a building and jumps into another building, like Fast and Furious style. And you get there, Hawkeye saves her, and then Kingpin walks in as she gets out, and she picks up one of the shotguns and just decapitates him with it.
Yeah.
Which is, the way McNiven drew this was great. It was great. It wasn't too gory.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, you know, but it was like
you got
powerful.
The point.
Yeah, you definitely get the point. And you see, like, you see her swing the shotgun. And I mean, the butt of it is what hits through his neck.
Yeah.
Like, it is a blunt object that cuts his head off.
Yep.
Again, pretty graphic. And she turns to Hawkeye and she's going to kill her dad because she let him know she was there to take over. She wasn't there to be a superhero.
Yep.
And, you know, Wolverine does what Wolverine does and you know, saves Hawkeye from everything.
Right.
And just drives off. And then this is where they're taking off and it's Enter the Mole Men.
Yep.
And so we pop to and Logan has just awoke from being unconscious.
Yeah.
And we see a body that the Mole Men are eating. And I thought it was Hawkeye at first.
Right.
And you're led to believe it. It's a character who's drawn very similar and all that. And we quickly find out it's not. Hawkeye's like, hey, I'm over here.
Yeah.
Come rescue me. You know, they keep the light on them. They can't, you know, like the scene, it's very short, this scene. But yeah, so then they get out and they're making their way across the plains. And they're basically driving through herds of dinosaurs. And Wolverine's like, are they going to eat us? He goes, not as long as you have that spray that I gave you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so anti-dinosaur repellent.
Yeah.
Or dinosaur repellent.
Pee.
Whatever.
I assume it was pee.
Yeah, some sort of thing.
But then they do get chased by a dinosaur.
They do later
on. The coolest looking dinosaur ever that should have been made into some kind of figure.
Yeah. Oh, that would be the best build-a-figure ever.
Yeah, it would.
All right, Marvel, Hasbro, do an Old Man Logan line.
Yeah.
And do the Venom T-Rex.
The Venom T-Rex build-a-figure.
But so as they're driving through Electroville, there is a giant skeleton.
Yeah.
That is Loki.
No, it's Ant-Man.
No. It's Loki.
Oh, is it?
Because they dropped the Baxter
building. Oh, yeah.
Remember? They dropped
the
Baxter building.
Right, yeah.
Because what you're thinking about is Pimfalls.
Right, Pimfalls,
But yeah, the Baxter building is in the middle of
nowhere,
Wyoming, essentially. Yeah. And there's a giant dead Loki.
Yeah.
Which the Fantastic Four, it says, they dropped the Baxter building on him.
Huh?
So, you know, it wasn't just the heroes that made it out scathed. You know, right. It was villains as well.
And it would be a cool story if he would do it, like a, you know, a 4-issue, 5-issue story showing the night that the world fell.
1 issue, 40 pages.
Yeah,
that's it.
Just flashes of what happened.
No. Because I think because the way it happened is it happened so fast.
Right.
Like, I think you could tell that story.
24 hours and 40 pages.
40 pages. Or even 48 if you want to do it, you know, every 2 pages.
Each page is
a half hour.
Yeah.
Would be great to see who survived, who went into hiding, who died in the initial thing. Because,
Who realized it was even happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because they talk about how... You know,
some of them didn't even know anything was happening until after it had happened.
And Hawkeye is like greatly offended because they just ignored him.
Yeah.
They didn't. No one came after him. They're just, you're just some guy with an arrow.
Yeah.
You know, and then we see a symbiote in South Dakota.
Yeah.
As they're driving off. And then we come by Mount Rushmore. And there was a skeleton head on there.
See, I don't remember that either. Oh, well, yeah, because he made himself president.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's Red Skull. And it's you know, it's Washington, it's Jefferson, it's Roosevelt, it's Lincoln, and then the red freaking skull.
All due respect, we're going to leave the rest of you guys up, but we're going to put the red skull.
Which I think is hilarious that he left the other ones up because he was a Nazi.
Right.
You know, he was pretty anti-America. But yeah, and we get a moment where Logan attacks a guy, you know, in a bar.
Right.
And doesn't pop his claws or anything yet, but like comes as close as we've seen him.
Yeah.
Since the
pretty
Hulk.
Much is like a pacifist in this story. Which is an unusual role for.
Which I think is what makes it so interesting because it reinvents that Wolverine character.
When I read it, it was the, you know, because I was reading it monthly, it was the whole thing of why. Why is he not doing this?
Right.
And you know, why is he not the berserker that he was?
What happened to the berserker
rage?
What
the hell happened to Wolverine that
remember when the berserker rage was one of his actual powers?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, calm down. Don't go full berserker.
Well, remember when he lost the adamantium and became, you know, a subspecies pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That was those 3 pages of Magneto ripping that out of him. Are some of the coolest pages in all of comics, and then putting it into Sabretooth.
Yeah.
You know, because as painful as it was to pull out, I can't imagine what it felt like to have that put.
Oh,
into
yeah.
But yeah, so no, this next part is where we learn what happened.
Yep.
Not to the heroes, specifically to the X-Men.
Yeah. Well, what happened to Wolverine?
Why Wolverine died. There's an explosion. He's with Jubilee.
Yeah.
She's instantly killed. And then it looks like Doc Ock, Shocker, Silver Samurai.
Right.
You know.
Strife?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Strife, not Silver Samurai.
Yeah, it was just a cornucopia of different villains.
Yeah, just a bunch of different guys. And, you know, they all start attacking Wolverine.
Yeah.
And you know, he's fighting them off, and you know, he's protecting the kids. Absorbing Man shows up, Bullseye shows up, Blob shows up. You know, and he's just going through these guys like they're paper mache.
Yeah.
Cuts Strife's head
off. It's literally like the scene from X2 except more blood.
Yeah. Green Goblin shows up.
Yeah. Like literally it's every villain in the Marvel universe starts popping up. Yeah.
Sinister's there. Sabretooth pops in. You know, and you know, he's fighting.
And as you're reading it, you're going, well, why were they all at the X-Mansion when they were all supposed to be taking down the rest of the world?
Right.
And then you find out what really happens.
You go through and he finally gets to the point where he kills Bullseye last, right? And I'm going to read this because it's Bullseye dying in Wolverine's arms. And it says, Logan, stop, please. Why are you doing this? You're supposed to be our friend.
Yeah.
And then enter Mysterio.
The whole time it's been one guy.
And everything fades back to reality. Yep. And he's holding Jubilee's dead body.
Yep.
And then Mysterio, you know, who can't help but monologue because that's what he does.
Yeah.
Lets him know that my name is Mysterio, Master of the Illusions. My thanks on behalf of the criminal community.
Yeah.
So he tricked Logan.
Well, it was that whole thing where, you know, obviously they were planning this. And it's like, well, who's going to stop Wolverine? Who can actually stop Wolverine? Right. And Mysterio goes, I could do it.
Yeah. So he,
and then they're like, well, how are you going to do it? And he tells him, and it's like, that's like the greatest plan ever.
Why didn't we think of this before?
And it's vicious. That the panel where they show all the dead
final
X-Men.
Panel, you have Gambit just eviscerated.
Beast is missing limbs.
Beast is missing arms and legs, and he's impaled on a spike. You just see Iceman's head. Peter's dead. Shadowcat's dead.
Cyclops
is all cut up,
sliced up.
Storm's neck is slit. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Well, it's literally every villain you see getting killed. It's actually one of the X-Men.
Yeah, Forge is in there.
Yeah,
you know, but it is. It's this really quite graphic, blood's everywhere scene, and you know, Wolverine. Oh, Havoc's missing his head.
Yeah,
you just see Havoc's body.
Right.
But yeah, and then it cuts back to him telling Hawkeye what's been going on. He's like, they smelled different. Like, you know what I mean?
Everything about them was
it
not
was an
them.
All-in illusion
yeah.
that he was not prepared for. And then we learn about how he killed Wolverine.
Yeah.
Is when we see him walking and kneeling towards the train, he laid his head down on the track.
Yeah.
Laid his neck on the track. And it wrecked the train.
Right.
It didn't cut his head off. It destroyed.
Yeah, it
the
was
train.
Literally like a train hitting something on a track and skipping off and running off the track.
Yep. So then we get back to the story of them making their way across country, and they get to a place called Dwight's Toll, and it's this little kid wearing an Ant-Man helmet or Ant-Man's helmet.
Yeah.
And he's like, "You owe me 80 cents." Okay.
Okay.
Here's 80 cents, yeah. And. You know, he's like, or I'll have my millions of friends attack you.
Right.
You know, and it's like, Hawkeye's like, nah, we'll just pay him.
Yeah.
And then this is where we get the symbiote T-Rex at the end of this. And then they're spider-bugging it for their lives.
Well, sure.
And then they get, you know, the day is saved.
Yeah.
And Black Bolt shows up.
Yeah, Big Mouth.
And I love the way they drew an old man Black Bolt.
Yeah.
He's all wrinkly, you know, it's just, you know, Black Bolt is, if you're not familiar with Inhumans, he's the king of the Inhumans. He's the head of the Inhuman royal family. And like Uncanny Inhumans right now is one of my favorite Marvel Now books.
Right.
And he is a literal larger than life character.
Yeah, who can't talk.
And because even a whisper will, you know,
pull the skin off your bones.
Is destructive, yeah. You know, and actually he just whispers the word stop.
Stop. Yeah.
To the dinosaur and just destroys the symbiote.
Yeah, he blows it right off of him.
Yeah, and kills the dinosaur too, obviously.
Yeah.
But we learn.
Well, and that's been the Venom like weakness is Sonic. So,
right,
you know, it's the whole.
Yeah. And we learn that our two hard traveling heroes were saved by the White Queen herself.
Yeah.
Emma Frost. And she appears to be in this utopian society. Everything's fresh and clean and futuristic.
Right, yeah.
She's still beautiful, hasn't aged a day. And, you know, she has her people clean up the spider buggy.
Yeah.
And then we learn it's an illusion.
Right.
Like, you know, she doesn't, we never, and this is what I love. We never see how old she is and what she looks like.
Right.
And then we don't see how run down and horrible.
Wherever she is. Yeah.
Because as they drive off in a newly refurbished spider buggy, you have a God Doom.
Yep.
Just kind of staring at him. And that's the only time we see Dr. Doom.
He's not concerned with him.
Not
They're
at
below
all.
Him.
Not at all. I'm actually surprised he took land in America.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I figured he'd would just been the controller of you know, Eurasia and, right. and Europe. So, yeah.
Well, it's one of those things where you wonder, that's another, like, story idea yeah. there. It's like, you wonder what's happening outside of, you know, the United States. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, I remember in Age of Apocalypse, the rest of the world was kind of normal,
mm-hmm.
you know, for being in the Age of Apocalypse. And that, and the United States was just what it was.
Wasn't that a song? The Age of Apocalypse.
No,
the
you can stop.
Age of Apocalypse.
You can stop singing now.
All right.
Now I wish Black Bolt would show up and just say stop.
So, all right. So then they get to Pym Falls, Connecticut,
which is an awesome design.
Which you see the giant man.
Yeah.
Just.
Where Hank Pym fell.
I wanted to. I almost
with
made
highways
this,
going through his skull.
Oh, through him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost made this my background the other day.
Yeah.
On my computer, and I was like, nah, I'm on my work computer.
yeah, why not?
Why not? But yeah, then they're finally to what are they? What's the name of the city? What are they calling it? Oh, New Babylon.
Yeah.
Which is. Essentially, Washington, D.C.
It's Washington, D.C.
There's a giant red skull statue holding, like, a mess of heroes.
Yeah.
And you very clearly see a cap shield and all that. But, yeah, so they get to their delivery, and we've been led to believe that Hawkeye is a drug dealer.
Yeah.
And he's selling drugs.
Yep.
At
least that's what Logan
and,
thinks.
Yeah, and that's what everyone has told him. And,
right.
And that's what Hawkeye told him. But it's not drug. I mean, it's a drug of sort.
Yeah.
It's a superhero. It's a super soldier serum.
Yeah.
And he has a whole briefcase full of it, about 40 vials, maybe more. And he's selling it to SHIELD.
Yeah.
SHIELD. Or so we think. I will say this. When we first meet the SHIELD agent... didn't trust him. And I was like, okay, that guy's not really SHIELD.
It's a SHIELD agent.
But he has a Hitler mustache.
Well, sure.
And then the president is the Red Skull. And we right. know this at this point. It's yeah. like, if they would have done this scene first and then showed the giant Red Skull thing,
yeah,
way, way better. You know?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, this is where they open fire on Wolverine.
And Hawkeye.
And then they turn and they kill Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And so shoot him through the chest and, you know, he's still going.
When they don't know
the
who
Avenger.
They're shooting.
They have no idea.
They
who,
have no
they
idea.
They have no idea it's Wolverine.
Yeah.
It's just some old guy to them.
Yeah.
And so they shoot him through the chest and then they, Hawkeye. I mean, they just unloaded on Wolverine.
Yeah.
And then they shoot Hawkeye through the forehead.
Yep.
And, you know, then we come back to 50 years earlier, and it's the Red Skull on the shattered Capitol steps in front of the Capitol building, just ablaze.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a dying Captain America there.
And which Captain is it?
It's
I'm Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it's Bucky, right?
Well, right, because at this point, Steve was dead.
Steve was dead, yeah.
Right. So Bucky was the Cap.
Right.
And at any, you know, Red Skull's monologuing.
Yeah, oh. With the best of them,
yeah.
right?
And you read it with a German accent. in your head, you hear it.
The abomination,
yeah.
Bonds. But he's monologuing to Cap about who's gonna get what and how his chief lieutenants are getting you know parts of America, and then he's sitting there and he says, "Guess who gets the White House?" And it cuts to Captain America with a tear running down the side of his face. And he says, as for the rest of the world, who'd want it now, eh? Which leads us to believe like
they destroyed everything.
The planet.
Right.
And then he says, shh, don't get upset. It'll be over soon. And all you see is his hands
coming out of his face,
pushing in his eyeballs.
Yep.
And then pop forward to the current time. In New Babylon, and he's inside the White House. It's covered with swastikas, which appropriate for now? I don't know. Don't want
this
to
was 2008.
No, I'm saying, but like now,
social justice warriors weren't in force yet.
anyway,
But I'm sorry, but if you have a story with the Red Skull, who is a Nazi, you have to put swastikas into the story.
He is a Nazi?
It's part of history.
I know.
I mean, but that's the thing, is like, I'm not a social justice warrior, so.
No.
You know.
But then we see the Red Skull looking at a trophy case.
Yeah.
And it might be the greatest trophy case of all time. It has.
It fits right in with the future imperfect room that Rick Jones had with all the memorabilia.
It has part of Silver Surfer's surfboard.
Mm-hmm.
It has part of Doctor Strange's cloak and the Eye of Agamotto.
Yep.
It has Thor's helmet. It has part of Spider-Man's mask and a web shooter. It has Daredevil's baton in the front of his tunic. It has a mostly intact Iron Man.
Armor.
Yeah,
not,
armor.
Not the man.
No. Armor. It's got Cyclops' helmet and visor, or, you know, cowl and visor.
Sure.
Part of Vision's head. The Thing's hand. Captain Marvel's, the front of her uniform and one of her gauntlet things that she wears.
I mean, is it?
Yeah, she was Captain Marvel then.
Was she?
Yeah. So, and then the crowning glory is Captain America's shield sits above all else.
Still in pretty good condition.
Yeah, well, you know, it's vibrating.
It's in mint condition, y'all.
It's mint condition. He's rated 9.8 from, who does the comics again? I forget. But yeah,
it wouldn't be comics.
It's in Lucite, you know. It's like,
I rated a 9.8. My name is Red Skull. I am President of the United States. Thank you.
But then the next page pans out.
Mind frame.
And he's emaciated looking because he's old.
Well, he's old. Yeah, he's 50 years old. He's still super soldier.
But he's wearing Captain America's goddamn costume.
Well, yeah, because you take the skin of your enemy and wear it.
And I love that so much. It was so cool. And like, you know, his henchman comes in. He's like, why are you wearing that? You know, and he goes in about why and
yeah,
you know, and then the shield guys show up and and then we get to see he also has Falcon's costume,
yeah,
and Redbird stuffed.
Who knew that Red Skull was a collector?
Yeah, yeah.
I must have one of everything.
I must. Well, he's a Pokemon aficionado. He's got to collect them all. Gotta catch them all.
It's just, there's so many stories that can be spinned out of this because there's the team that cleans up after disasters, yep. Which I can't, the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, the Wrecking Crew.
So the Red Skull had his own Wrecking Crew who went around to all these places.
And got
I want Cyclops visor and helmets.
Yes. I want the Thing's hand. I want.
Well, that was the only piece I could find because the building had fallen and he was in it.
I want to stuff Redbird. I want Captain America's shield.
No, he had that already.
Yeah. I want the top.
Do you think
only the top?
He took the Silver Surfer's
surfboard.
Well, you know, that was probably a real fight.
Yeah, well,
but do you think he took the shield and the costume from Cap and went, wait a minute, I would like to have more of these things.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. It's like, this room shall be the crafting masterpiece.
I think what would have been cool
to my
is
victory.
If Millar would have had it where he couldn't walk real well, so he was in Xavier's chair. That would have been awesome, but that had already been done.
Mind
I mean,
blown, you know,
that was what Rick Jones was in. But I mean, just the old wheelchair would have been
the old one, not the
not
floaty,
the floating
cool
one, but the wheelchair the with the X wheels.
Yeah. Oh, that would be outstanding. Okay, so the shield guys show up. They're like, hey, we have the serum. Here's Hawkeye's dead body. We got this guy.
And he's like, do you know who that is?
Yeah. He says, of course there is. You riddled him with bullets. No, his wounds disappeared. And then Wolverine comes up and, you know, just
berserker rage.
Beats the hell out of the guy. And then, you know, tells the Red Skull, you're going down, bub.
Yeah.
He doesn't say bub, but anyway.
He should have.
And the Red Skull is like, well, this is unexpected.
Yeah.
And it's like, is this because we killed your little friend? And, you know, they have a, let's see, what is it? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 pages.
Oh yeah, it's splash page after splash page.
It is epic, and you get who's sword is that?
Black Knight's.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he has Black Knight's sword, and Logan has Cap's shield.
Yeah, it's the reverse of the Captain America annual where Wolverine is bringing his claws down onto the shield.
Now, at no point in this fight do the claws come out.
No.
And he still manages to behead the Red Skull.
Yep, that shield.
Dude, this would be such a cool poster to have.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, if you get the trade on Comixology, it's page 153. It is so cool.
Oh yeah.
And then so then he's Wolverine's locks the door and he's like, okay, I gotta get out of here. How am I gonna get out of here? And boom. We have Iron Wolverine.
Yeah.
So now it's not all of the costume. It's
no, it was
essentially
just
the top
torso.
And then the gloves and then the boots.
Yeah.
And he takes the money, which is more money than he'll ever need in this world, and decides, okay, I'm out of here, I'm going home. Flying full speed, you get 3,000 miles from home, 2,000 miles from home, 1,000 miles from home, 500 miles from Sacramento. And then the suit decides, oh, no, we're out of fuel. We're going to give out. You know, scavengers try to come and get him.
Yep.
You know, he fights them off. He makes his way back home. Takes 36 hours to get there.
Yeah.
Now, he had a month to pay the rent.
Yeah.
It's been about 3 weeks that this whole adventure has been.
Yeah, happening. Yeah, it's not been that long.
He shows up. His buddy Donovan is there waiting for him. He's got the money. But Donovan has some bad news.
Yeah.
The Hulk's got a little bored.
Yep.
And Wolverine comes home and finds his wife, his son, and his daughter dead. This pretty much breaks Wolverine, and you get an entire splash page.
Yeah.
That is just snicked.
Yep.
And you know stuff is about to go down.
Yeah. The Wolverine is back, pretty much.
And so this is finished up in it's a giant size Wolverine Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
Number one. One shot. It's the Old Man Logan conclusion. Now, Kick-Ass is a pretty gory comic.
Yeah.
You know, 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
You know, was Incorruptible.
Yeah.
Is a pretty gory comic. You know, Millar.
Sure, yeah.
Millar does not shy away.
Was Incorruptible one of his?
Yeah.
Infamous. Incorruptible was something else, wasn't it?
I can check. But anyway, but you know what I mean. But Millar just does not.
He doesn't pull his punches.
No. Very much like Kirkman doesn't, you know.
Right. Well, Millar doesn't as much. Millar does what Millar wants to do.
Well, yeah. Anyway, hold on.
Sure.
Comic. I just want to see. Oh, Mark Waid. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, similarly, he's another one that did some pole punches. Yeah, no, Infamous. That's the one.
Yeah.
You know, Secret Service, all that stuff.
Any of the Millar World stuff.
Millar World stuff. He goes. Like Jupiter's Legacy.
When it's a story where the extreme violence is necessary, he doesn't shy away
from
it.
He goes extreme.
Right. Because some of his stories, I mean, you know, like, Empress and the other space one that he did that was similar to Flash Gordon, they have a lot of action in it, but there's not a lot of gore.
No.
And it's one of those things where when you have to use gore, he uses gore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, so this one gets really bad.
This one opens and there's a couple of Hulk grandkids. I like to call them Hulk Billies.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what they're really called, but in my head, I just called them Hulk Billies.
They're just hillbilly grandchildren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Hulk Billies.
The incestuous grandchildren of Hulk and She-Hulk.
Yeah. Well, who else could he mate with? Who else could keep the pace?
Well, you know.
So that's a direct line. But we see Rufus, one of the grandchildren,
yeah,
just float up in pieces.
Yep.
And you have part of his jaw. I mean, this is just one little part of the panel.
Yeah.
And, you know, then from out of nowhere, Wolverine just pops up. You know, they get to, a bar. Wolverine comes through. He attacks. We get to, they're in Hef's mansion.
He's only taking out the Hulklings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's not killing anyone else.
Yeah.
Just the Hulks.
Yep.
Or the Hulkbillies, if you will. And the scene where he shows up outside of Hef's mansion in front of the Fantastic Four mobile.
Yep.
With the duster and the hat and the claws out. Like, that.
Yeah, it's Clint Eastwood with Wolverine claws.
That is a dude, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
15 years ago, Cable.
Yep.
Done. Forget Wolverine, Cable.
Yeah.
Too bad Scott Glenn, if he could buff up, Scott Glenn could do it.
No, Scott Glenn should be Hawkeye in the Old Man Logan. Yeah.
Mind blown again. Anyway, so the two of the three Banners who attacked his family are there.
Yeah.
And they're, they're talking trash. And, he's like, here, why don't we give it a try? And then we pop to Banner's lair.
Yeah.
So we don't get to see any of this. And is that's She-Hulk, right? No. Or is that one of the hillbilly incestuous?
I think that's one of the kids.
One of the daughters.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming She-Hulk's dead at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that
She's
was my
popped
assumption.
Out so yeah. many kids, and then they popped yeah. out grandkids.
Yep. And now he's,
Hulk's pretty much doing everybody
mm-hmm.
that's female.
Yeah.
So,
that's female in a Hulk.
Yeah.
She's talking about how he's coming for revenge and Banner's like, well, we killed his wife and children. Bobby Joe laid him out like a damn finger buffet. You bet your ass he's coming here.
Yeah.
Like, that's the line. And, Wolverine shows up in the Fantastic Mobile and uses it and just kind of blows a hole through, the Hulks and has the one has a bomb strapped to him and blows them all up.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy. Like, just crazy cool. And he's, he tells them he's here to kill people. Claws are out. He's, putting claws through people's heads, faces, and everything.
Yep.
And then he gets to the cave and a little old man walks out.
Yep.
And it's Banner.
Bruce Banner.
Banner lost his damn mind.
A long time ago.
Well, yeah. So, and he punches Wolverine.
He's as powerful as the human Banner.
Yeah, the human Banner is as powerful as the Range Monster Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into it. They fight. I love when he tries to smash the cow on him, and Wolverine just rips the cow in half.
It, yeah,
which
Oh yeah.
Let's have that happen in Logan. So,
poor cow.
Poor
no
cows.
Animals were harmed in the filming of this movie.
And then Wolverine runs them through.
Yep.
And thinks, okay, that's it. No.
Had to tear him apart or something.
Banner hulks out.
Yeah.
And picks Wolverine up and just takes a gigantic bite out of him.
Right.
Just a big bite out of his side. And then heads back into the lair.
Tries to eat him. That's just
he ate Wolverine.
Yeah,
he just eats Wolverine, and that's the end of the story.
Sure,
except for it's not because he goes back in and he's complaining about a bellyache.
Should I eat some Tums?
Yeah. Well, he's complaining. He bends over, moaning and wailing. He licks his palms because a phony fever could wind you up in a doctor's office, and that's worse than school.
Right.
Name that movie.
I don't remember.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Oh, man, you're fired.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
Last show.
And then he rips out. Wolverine rips his way out of Hulk.
Because he heal factors inside of him. And that's,
inside of
that's
Hulk.
That's the
he
what heals. Banner's feeling is him
is Wolverine
healing.
Growing back.
Yeah.
Now, I would have loved to have seen him go back to human form, Banner, and have Wolverine just kind of just grow out of him.
Grow out of him.
But this scene is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a little baby Hulkling.
Yeah.
who he's cute. He looks normal. You know, he's Bruce Jr.
Right.
Which I don't think any of them ever were named Bruce Jr. before.
No, just this one.
Right.
This one looks normal.
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of them, because the rest of them look like incestuous. Yeah, which they, you would.
It was like that one X-Files episode.
Yeah.
You know, that, yeah. That's all I could think about.
Well, yeah.
Which is one of the few X-Files episodes I actually like watched. Right. That I was like, all right, that was
disturbing.
Disturbing, but right. Cool. Which I don't think it only aired once, right?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Is it even on like Netflix or Hulu or anything?
It's probably on the Netflix feed, I'm sure, but you know, it was one of those things where it was too disturbing for television in 1990s.
Well, it's probably even more too disturbing nowadays.
You know.
But anyway, so yeah. So then we cut through, you know, he's buried his family. He's going to become the hard traveling hero, if you will.
Yeah.
With his little baby Hulkling.
Well, it's kind of like he says something about, I'm going to go take care of mm-hmm. all these villains yep. now. And then you're like, well, this is going to turn into, you know, the man with no name.
Yeah.
Except it's the man that called Logan.
Yep.
And that it is literally going to be the reforming of the heroes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, along the way, he's going to pick up people mm-hmm. and that, but there was never a sequel.
Which I'm fine with.
I was fine with that, but it would have been cool to see what would have happened next.
Like, it's very much like Shane, you know? Like, this story is very much an old Western. And, you know, it's like Shane, except for there's not the question of did he slump over and die
right.
or, you know, what. He's literally riding off in the sunset to make a better world.
With a baby on his back?
With a baby on his back and a song in his heart.
Yep.
And in shiny, glinty metal claws.
Yeah.
But I don't want
first
a
thing he goes
sequel.
To pick up is the armor, the Iron Man armor.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At least wear that chest plate and that, you know, a little extra protection.
One of the gauntlets.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah. Keep those around just in case you need them.
Or the boots so he can fly.
Or just pop the claws through the gauntlets. Yeah. Yeah. Go back to Washington, D.C. and pick up the shield, the cap shield.
Yeah. But all right. So that's old man Logan. McNiven's art is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Steve McNiven is a definite comic veteran. He was at this point.
Oh, yeah. But this is definitely like just a fun story to read. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've recommended it to you and other people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even if you don't like Wolverine, this is a Wolverine you will like.
As a very vocal Wolverine detractor.
Yeah.
This is definitely a story to read.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion is this and Weapon X are the two best Wolverine, like Wolverine stories. Mm-hmm. Wolverine and the X-Men has good stories. Wolverine and other things has good stories. But this is the best Wolverine stories. This and Weapon X are probably the two best Wolverine stories.
I can dig it.
And now Old Man Logan is in the regular Marvel Universe.
He is. He's in the Extraordinary X-Men book.
Yeah.
And it's really good. I enjoy
his own title too.
He does.
There's the Old Man Logan.
And
book.
I'm not reading that because I can't buy a Wolverine solo title. I just can't do it.
It's not Wolverine though, it's Logan.
Right. Well, but I have a new appreciation for his character in that
book.
Would you
buy one of the Old Man Logan trades to see how they tie it to this story?
Maybe,
if it was on sale on Comixology or something.
I see how. I mean, I got this one on sale for like $4.99,
yeah,
which is why I bought it. And which is why we're talking about it today. But no, I see how he acts, and there's enough backstory there to get it, you know, to get like, hey, you know, there's
But these characters that popped up from the Battle Worlds, from Secret Wars Battle Worlds, are not the characters from the stories. They're just from a timeline that is almost like that timeline.
Right. Yeah. So,
Old Man Logan is the Old Man Logan from that story, then where's Bruce Banner Jr.?
Yeah.
Because he should have been with him the whole time. So
one would think, but...
Yeah.
Or they got separated and Bruce Banner Jr. ended up in Greenland with the rest of the
Hulks.
Well,
that's possible, too.
So,
yeah.
You know, God Doom is a fair and loving God Doom.
Right. Now he's the Iron Man.
He's the infamous Iron Man.
Yeah.
Fan of our show.
Yeah, there you go.
We're his namesake.
Oh, is that
yeah.
You knew beforehand?
Yeah. Well, we were in existence before he became infamous Iron Man.
Right.
But anyway. So yeah, so that is the show for this week.
Yep.
Any last words real quick about
if you haven't read this book, read it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Definitely go check it out.
It's one of the better 21st century Marvel stories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they putter along like everybody else does, but every once in a while there's a gem in their crown. And this is probably one of their best.
I will say,
not one of Mark Millar's best, but one of the Marvel like storylines, yeah. One of the best ones of the last of the since 2000. Put it that way.
I will say, I hope they don't try and do Old Man Logan with Logan, which I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I think it's just he's older and there's not a lot of mutants around, and like, you know, because in the X-Men universe, there's no other heroes,
right?
Except for in the special features of X-Men when Spider-Man shows up and they tell him he's in the wrong movie.
Did that happen?
Yeah, the deleted scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a gag, like it's
thing. Okay, so. Yeah.
But definitely check this book out. Coming from a guy who's not a Wolverine fan,
yeah,
it is well worth a read, and it breathes a different kind of life into the character, and he is it's very interesting.
Yep.
And it's very much in the vein of leaving you wanting more, ending on a high note. But still feeling very satisfying that it's over.
Right.
So, cool. All right. Well, on that note, the Infamous Podcast is recorded in Cincinnati, Ohio, or just outside of, if you will. You can find us online at infamouspodcast.com. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Infamous Podcast. My name is Brian Tudor. I'm on most social networks as Brian Tudor.
Johnny Podorf, mainly Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.
And if you have questions for us, you can reach us at contact@infamouspodcast.com. And don't forget our Patreon page. We would love your support. And yeah, new episodes every Friday.
All right.
All right.
Everyone have a good one.
All right. Later.